So there's a story that goes like this. A preacher at a small church would sometimes take his two small sons with him to an early morning Bible study. And there was an older gentleman who would bring his donut with him. It was early morning and you need a little breakfast to tide you over. And he'd sometimes split that donut with the brothers. So one Sunday morning, the smallest son came to church with a bag of Cheerios. Church is always a little better with a bag of Cheerios alongside. And so the older man leaned over to the youngest boy and said, "Can I have some of those Cheerios?" And the boy reached inside of his bag and took out a Cheerio and broke it in half, as he'd seen the man do with his donut, and offered him a half of the Cheerio. We learn to do exactly what we've seen. We too emulate those around us and God in the same way. God, who's given us so much, and we offer back to God a portion of our broken Cheerios as well. Now, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about reasons why we do give, but first I want to share one reason why we don't give. We don't give in order to receive. At the turn of the 19th century, with the rise of Pentecostalism and New Thought and an American gospel with that pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of upward mobility, y'all might know a little something about the prosperity gospel that came in to being, popularized with healing revivals in the 1950s and a couple of televangelists who got themselves real popular and into a little bit of trouble sometimes with the law, had some non-biblical theology that says this: if you have faith and you give to a certain telephone number and think really positively, God will bless you with wealth and with resources. Now, I have to say this. All kinds of folks, Pentecostals and Charismatics and others, have critiqued this theology today and said it was irresponsible and incomplete. The Bible says an awful lot more than just this. And it's been exploitative of particularly our poor brothers and sisters. So, if we're not given just to receive, why do we give? Three reasons I want to share with you this morning. The first is, we give not because we're obliged or indebted to, but we give as an act of worship. We give because we want to offer back to God what God has given to us. In the days of kings and prophets, the Israelites offered their worship through a sacrifice. In the last days of Jesus, you might remember the story of the woman with the alabaster jar who poured costly ointment and nard in preparation for his death. Today, we bring our sacrifice, our offering with praise and thanksgiving, our tithes, our gifts that we bring as worship as well. At our Wiggly Giggly services, particularly at Christmas and Easter with our kids, we invite them to take the offering. And I want to give you a little image of this. If you've ever seen five-year-olds playing soccer, and it's a little bit like swarm ball, wherever the ball is, the kids go, and if the ball goes over here, the kids go over here as well. That's a bit what it's like when we're taking the offering at a Wiggly Giggly service, from one chair to another, from one section to another. And there's nothing as exciting as when someone puts something into the plate. In fact, there's often been times when someone has clapped, the kids, and cheered because something went inside of the plate. The joy of giving becomes contagious when we give out of worship, with generous hearts and excitement. We put the focus back on God in our giving. Oswald Gualter was a missionary in northern China during the 1940s. And after about 10 years of service, he was returning home. And his ship stopped in India. While waiting for that ship, he found a group of refugees who were living in a warehouse by the pier. It was clear that they were unwanted by the society around him, and he went to visit them. It was Christmas time that he was returning home, and he kindly wished them a Merry Christmas and said, "What is it you're hoping for Christmas?" "We're not Christians," they said. "We don't believe in that Christmas thing." "I know," he said, "but what do you want for Christmas?" They began to describe in detail some German pastries that they were particularly fond of. So Gualter decided to cash in his ticket and use the money to buy baskets and baskets of these pastries, take them to the refugees, and wish them a Merry Christmas. He later was telling this story to a class of students, and the students asked a question that perhaps you might be wondering as well. Why did you give a Christmas present to those who said that they weren't Christians? They don't even believe in Jesus, the students asked. Gualter replied really simply, "I know, but I do." The second reason we give is to participate in God's reign here on earth. You and I pray regularly that God's kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. And then we begin to act as if Jesus was already here by making disciples, by taking up our crosses, by following the way of God, offering forgiveness and reconciliation, loving one another, and proclaiming that God's kingdom is near. All of this participation requires support and resources. Jesus' ministries were often financed by these Galilean women we read about in the scriptures, those who provided food and shelter and necessities for the Jesus movement. Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Susanna, and these traveling female workers who surrendered and sacrificed to follow Jesus' way. Between teaching, we know they did cooking, and beyond recruiting, they did mending, and in the excess of donating funds, donated their time. To his ministry, they gave what they had, their gifts and their talents, their time and their money, their very substance to keep the movement, sharing who Jesus is, going. In fact, they ministered to Jesus out of the abundance of their hearts. We know that the world will know we are Christians by our love. One of the defining characteristics of the earliest Christian communities was indeed the generosity. Throughout the book of Acts, we find recorded the formation of early Christianity when Christians came together and shared their possessions so that no one would have need. And it was this kind of behavior that caused the Romans particularly to say, "Who are these people? Why is it that they act in such a different way, sharing things and taking care of one another?" At Westgrove, we've been blessed by an abundant generosity of those who support and finance our faith community as we open our hearts to Jesus and grow in faith and serve God and God's world. In this year alone, we've received 15 new members. Thanks be to God for our confirmation class. Had 30 small group opportunities and fed those who are hungry with over 260 bags. That's an update from your bulletin. It's always an evolving number. And given over $3,300 in emergency assistance. Again, an update from your bulletin. It's been a busy week. We give thanks to God. even as we've sat sometimes in scarcity, projecting that there may be deficit, it's been the generosity of our congregation and our community that continues to see the vision of God's future through. And we continue to seek sustainable and right-sizing solutions. In a response to a request for our sustainability survey, we paused for a season to develop a sound strategic plan before taking any additional steps. Our strategic planning team has diligently been developing a 3-year rolling plan so that it can see us into the future. And they are going to be sharing this fully so that we might live out our own call to discipleship that reflects God's abundance. The final reason we give is to grow in God's grace. You and I, we are followers of Jesus who desire to be more like God. God who is abundantly generous and who leads us on that journey. When we focus as giving as only an act of charity, we split the greatest commandment into two. We may focus on the love of our neighbor while forgetting that giving is one of the necessary ways that we show love to God as well. In 2 Corinthians 6:7, we're reminded that God loves a cheerful giver. If our giving is an act of worship, it's never done out of compulsion or obligation, but out of the joy of our hearts. That giving, it shapes us. When we watch others give, we're moved to give. When we see God's mercy and grace, we want to be more merciful and more grace-filled. John Wesley preached approximately 40,000 sermons. This thing just sets me back a minute. 40,000 sermons in his lifetime. His journal suggests it's about 15 a week. He's doing an awful lot of preaching, let's just say that. And one of the best-known Wesley teachings comes from a sermon entitled The Law Established Through Faith, where he says, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." It's a lot of all you cans. Methodists and well-meaning people everywhere have sought to live this out for generations. Our children's message right here with the good people everywhere sought to even share it with our kids. But Wesley included this in so many of his sermons, and he explained it even further in talking about our giving. He said this: earn all you can, save all you can, and then give all you can. That may sound like philanthropic adage of today, but those words come from 1760 as he was preaching to coal workers in the mines and factory workers at the pubs, and a swath of English society impacted by the Industrial Revolution. He stood on a prophetic tradition that called for equality in work wages, and he urged those who might drink or gamble their wages away to bring some home so that families might also have their needs cared for in saving funds. And then he pointed to the God who warmed his heart and called for Christians to care for one another by giving to churches and mutual aid societies to care for one another. So this morning, where is God calling you to abundant generosity? The God who has given each of us life and breath and eternity, it's the whole donut that God has given us. May you worship God abundantly. Immerse yourself in ushering in the reign of God. Grow in God's grace as you emulate God's abundant generosity with joy and with broken Cheerios. that you offer back to God. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.